Good evening, everyone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who came out this evening to receive the Word of God. May it be a profitable time for every one of us. Give us your Word. Let it resonate in our souls. The Word of the Kingdom, the great incentive that you extend to each one of us to excel by Christ Jesus, by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. Give glory and honor to Jesus Christ in the everyday things. Prepare us for eternity. Train us to reign. As you bring the difficult situations and circumstances into our life, that we might trust you in them and be capacitated to rule and reign by that capacity that you impart through difficulty, through tests and trials, and troubles of all kinds. Father, we trust you, and we seek you now, and we seek your Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Bless this time, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. I've entitled the message, The Leaven of Heaven. This is the parable of the kingdom of the heavens, likened unto leaven. But first what we're going to do, and it's Tuesday, June 20th, 2017. First what we're going to do is finish the message from Sunday. I told you we'd look at a couple things. To finish the message from Sunday, I want you to consider a few things that are important to our spiritual well-being and can serve as a gauge of our individual fitness for the kingdom. Whether or not the kingdom comes in our lifetime, make sure the kingdom is inside of you. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees who questioned him about the kingdom. He said, the kingdom does not come with signs to be observed, but the kingdom is entos inside you. That is those who believe. If you find that it is, that is, if the kingdom is inside you, then the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 3 to 20, will take on new meaning. Those are all about the kingdom. These are the attitudes and corresponding blessings of the kingdom slated for the little flock. Those with enough insight and foresight to live on earth as citizens of heaven, awaiting the kingdom. Turn to Matthew 5. We're just going to read through these just so I hit them. Because they're very central to the word of the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who know that they're needy. They need God all the time. They trust Him. Rely upon Him for everything. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They get a slice of the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God always repays the suffering that He calls us to and that we must go through. He repays us for it with great strength and comfort. Comfort means strength, by the way. That's why the Spirit is called the Comforter. He's the one who draws alongside to strengthen. That's what comfort means. Comforte. It means alongside to strengthen. Forte, like fortify. Blessed are the gentle, the meek. Why? For they will inherit the earth. I love that promise. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You say, well, I have a little piece of earth now. 100 by 200 lot with a house on it. No, he's talking about you're going to own a lot of vast pieces of the earth and rule over them. If you're meek, what's meek mean? Meek means that you trust God. Meek means that you don't take your own rights or your own cause, and that you're willing to suffer the wrong rather than bring the name of Christ into disgrace, like the Corinthian believers who were suing one another in court. He says, you're better off to suffer the wrong. be meek. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. With meekness receive the deeply implanted word, which is able to save your soul. That means that you have that attitude toward the word of God. The word of God is your solution to every problem and your answer to every question. Blessed are those, this is great too, who are so hungry and thirsty for righteousness. For they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The opposite of what you deserve. Mercy is the withholding of negative consequences that are due to you, even as grace is blessings that you can't earn or deserve, and favor that you can't earn or deserve. And then, he says, blessed are the merciful. Wait, I did that, didn't I? Oh, I skipped ahead. Sorry. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten in the bosom of the Father as He has revealed Him. But you're going to see God, the Father. You have to have spiritual eyes to see God, the Father, because He has no substance as far as physicality is concerned. Jesus does. God the Father does not. He's spirit. God is spirit. And you have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. They'll be just like the Son of God, who is the Prince of Peace. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They won't be persecuted anymore. They'll rule over the nations and will execute righteousness and justice as vicegerents, co-rulers with Jesus Christ. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you. You feel blessed when you get insulted? You should. And persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. You didn't know all this was in there, did you? If you haven't read it recently. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, the preservative, the disinfectant for the earth, the restrainer of evil in the earth. Even as salt is an antiseptic and a preservative. But if the salt becomes tasteless, it loses its savor, its sting, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke, the jot or tittle, shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. And Christ, of course, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes in Romans 10:4. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. For those who are found to be genuine, that is, at the coming of Christ, the rewards will be great. Only these who are genuine constitute the little flock, who will in the end receive the kingdom to rule with glory, the kingdom of heaven on earth. Will you be among them? Will I be among them? I certainly want to be and hope to be, but I don't know that I will be. Not yet, anyway. I fear that after I preach to others, I'll be disapproved. I hope I can do what Paul did later on, say, I know now that there's a crown of righteousness awaiting me, which the righteous judge will award to me on that day, not only to me, but to all who love his appearing. At first we don't know, and perhaps we don't think so. But in the end, we should know that there's slated for us the full boat of the most exotic, tailor-made, and God-glorious blessings awaiting us at the famous judgment. Only those who make daily and perceptible gains will realize monumental advances, justified, sanctified, certified, qualified for the crowns, rewards, and privileges of the eternal kingdom. For the tiny seeds, this is the mustard seed parable, mustard tree parable, tiny seeds have sprouted, and the tree has grown, and the kingdom of God has finally come. It's not the pine or the maple, not even the oak, but the bramble, the mustard tree, which is the unlikely ruler of the rest. Judges 9, turn there, Judges. Remember Judges this? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Joseph, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Solomon. See, I learned that in Sunday school when I was little. It never left me. Now you do it. Judges 9:8. It doesn't matter if you can do it or not. Unless it's just because you haven't spent enough time there that you don't know what comes after what. That's why they put an index in the front of the Bible so you can look it up. Judges 9:8. Once the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, shall I leave my fatness with which God and men are honored and go to wave over the trees? Then the tree said to the fig tree, you come reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to wave over the trees, rule over the trees? Then the tree said to the vine, you come reign over us. But the vine said to them, shall I leave my new wine, which cheers God and men, and go to wave over the trees? Finally, all the trees said to the bramble, the thorn tree, you come reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in truth you are anointing me as king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon. So we have the unlikely leadership and rulership of the mustard seed and the mustard tree. The smallest microscopic seed that becomes a macroscopic tree and grows from a very small seed to a very large tree until it covers the earth and the kingdom. I said on Sunday, put that on your hot dog, the mustard, and praise God for your election to privilege and future glory. What starts out small and local becomes large and universal under the rule of Christ and his co-regents or vice-sigilants. The kings and lords of the earth, under the oversight of Jesus Christ himself, altogether powerful and glorious, King of kings, Lord of lords, ruling the kingdom of heaven on earth for 1,000 literal years from the New Jerusalem that descends from heaven and hovers over the earth, causing the earth to regenerate by the presence of the Son of God in power and great glory, and the revelation of the sons of God, or manifestation of those who are really, truly the sons of God. Romans 8:19. The anxious longing creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we also, ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, that is, the redemption of these bodies. That's the last thing that has to happen. That's the final, that's the missing piece. I hope you and I are found, looking for, waiting for, living for that day when all that hope entails is consummated and righteousness covers the earth. No more fake news. I like that term Donald Trump made up, fake news. No more false reports. No more drama. Nothing more in the drama of politics. Only a one world government under the righteous rule and absolute authority of heaven. No more birds or branches. No more religion with its man-made regulations and rituals. Only reality and wonder. True worship and praise for Jesus Christ. You won't need to pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Or the sinner's prayer, for the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. As heaven rules the earth in justice and righteousness. No more war. No more disease. No more sadness. No more sickness. And in the end, no more death. That is after the millennium. The millennium is still natural history for those who are on the earth that are still natural people. But there will be glorified mankind. There will be natural people. And there will be angels as well. It's getting close. So obey the gospel of the kingdom and repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Always. It's always at hand. Live knowing for sure that tomorrow he will come through the same ancient doors and everlasting gates I read about in Psalm 24. Now let's look at the leaven. That's the next parable. I call it the leaven of heaven. That's the name of our message, the leaven of heaven. That a woman, everything else was done by a man, this is done by a woman. So ladies, pay special attention to the woman. Because she's not you. I'll tell you who she is. She's Israel. The woman's always Israel. And she placed in three measures of dough, leaven, or yeast, until all of it was leaven. I used to teach have taught that leaven was hypocrisy and greed, which it certainly is in this world, in the world and ways of men, but not so where the kingdom of heaven is concerned. Matthew 13:33 is our text. Must have some kind of significance. 13:33. 1, 3, 2, 3. I haven't figured that out yet. He spoke, Jesus did, another parable to them, that is to his disciples. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, yeast, which a woman took and hid in three packs of flour or three measures of dough until it was all leavened. Here we have, once again, another of the same kind, Alice, another parable of the same kind, that he spoke, Jesus spoke, to them, his disciples, saying, the kingdom of the heavens is like leaven, which, being taken by a woman, was hid or hidden in meal or flour, three measures of it, until all, holos, all of it, the whole thing, was leavened. The effect of yeast, if you don't know this already, some of you made bread before. How many have made bread? How many ladies ever made bread? One, huh? Great, no, more than one. My wife makes buns and rolls and bread. The effect of yeast is invisible and internal. It is static, yeast is, until it comes in contact with flour. It remains inactive until it does. Fermentation is the process that occurs with yeast as it consumes sugar. It occurs with fungus or bacteria, which is the yeast, begins to consume the natural sugar that wheat flour contains, for example, the waste product produced by the bacteria is carbon dioxide and converts the sugar into ethanol, which in its gaseous form causes the dough to rise. It's gas, and it causes the dough to rise until all the sugars are consumed. Depending upon the sugar content, the dough will rise higher and higher. The invisible action that occurs internally can only be seen by the result. As the dough is raised and then baked and eaten, and the energy extracted and metabolized to strengthen and energize the human body. Though man doesn't live by bread alone, he needs bread to live. The kingdom, in its invisible form, and according to Luke 17:20, is inside those who are processing the word, whether it be under Moses, mystery, or millennium, that's the three M's, three measures of meal, Moses, mystery, and millennium. You can break down the time plan of God into those three large segments: Moses, mystery, and millennium. Doesn't matter which one they're in or found in, that those processing the word are being raised and strengthened by the word and the spirit. It's the spirit that metabolizes the word to edify the soul of the one who eats and unites faith with the message. So I prayed at this point in my study, open my eyes and answer my cries. Because you say, I want an insight. I want to see what it means. So the Lord just opened my eyes and answered my cries. The leaven of earth is corruption, by which men rise to power and wealth. It is the influence of corruption that infects society. It is hypocrisy and greed that drives men to ruin. It's falsehood and deception. It's jockeying for position, influence peddling, self-justification, self-deception, and preoccupation with self that attempts to hide from God by rejecting the truth. It's pride that blinds the soul and sears the conscience, distorting one's sense of right and wrong, even the basic sense of right and wrong, desensitizing the conscience. The leaven of heaven is the influence of the word that affects men within, internally. It's invisible and internal. It affects the soul. The woman is always Israel, to whom and by whom the word of God came into the world. With few exceptions, the Bible was written by Jewish authors. Spanning more than 1,500 years, these 40 authors of the Bible, wrote down precisely that which the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was breathed out by the Holy Spirit and breathed into their souls, was the very thoughts and articulate communication of the mind of the Creator, given to all mankind. This was done supernaturally, without changing their personalities, but receiving His instruction and selection of every word, every phrase, and every sentence. By His word, He has told us how the world should be and will be when He comes with the kingdom. It's going to prove what the world should have been like in the kingdom era. It will be glorious by His presence and holy by His word and His spirit, making man what he was fully intended to be by removing the leaven of earth, replaced by the leaven of heaven, even the leaven of love and truth, to bring about the redemption of man. After I did all this and read it and thought it through, I went and looked at some of the commentators. There were several good ones that said, that's what it means. Okay. I like confirmation. Yeah, everybody needs confirmation. I don't come up with stuff on my own. I check it out. I check everything out. bring about the redemption of man as well as the earth, and to unite heaven and earth. That's what the kingdom's about. To unite heaven and earth. And permanently unite God and man, which history proves to be impossible for man to do on his own. Every attempt of man to create a utopia has come to nothing, has fallen far short. Moreover, has ended in violence and devastation. There can be no peace until there is perfection. And until Christ comes as the perfect king, there can only be wars and rumors of wars. That's hot and cold wars. To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, and David, the covenants were given. And the promises made by God that ultimately depended upon Him, the integrity of God, to fulfill. These were worked invisibly into their hearts, into the hearts of men, and spread to the ends of the earth, albeit as an undefined utopian ideal that all mankind longs for, from the influence of the Spirit, can neither be seen nor felt. He works beneath the surface, invisibly, to bring about the will of God. That's the leaven that permeates all of it. It ruins men that reject God, that reject the salvation of Christ, discount or disbelieve the Word of God. The influence of those who claim to be Jews and are not, because they reject the Messiah, is gradually and progressively supplanted by those who are the Israel of God by faith. And though they do not know it, they are the invisible influence that changes history and brings about the kingdom in its visible, tangible, and universal manifestation. The promises of God made to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Ephraim, Manasseh, the promises of God made to the fathers of a land, a law, a leadership, a lasting legacy are all consummated in the end by the unobtrusive and pervasive influence of the word of the kingdom. That's the leaven. The word changes the world. You see, I don't see the word doing anything. Oh, it's changing you, and it's changing the world. It's living and powerful as it resides in the secret place inside you, as it restrains evil and empowers real good in the lives of men and preserves a remnant of godliness in each generation that's passed along, and in the end is the pervasive influence of the millennial society, which is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven. It declares, it denounces, it divides, and separates the true from the false, the counterfeit from the genuine, the soul from the spirit, the joints from the marrow, and is the judge of men's thoughts and intentions. It causes men to rise from the dead, from apathy, rise from indifference, from a shallow existence awaiting death, brings them to life, even as in the end, it will bring about the kingdom of God on earth. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-mouthed or two-edged sword. The Hebrews that believed the gospel were characterized by waiting for the kingdom, all of them. When will the kingdom come? When will the kingdom come? Jesus said, it's not for you to know. God knows. When it comes, it'll come. But before it comes, these things will happen, and he lays those all out. The one prophet that was given the most detailed information was Isaiah. So you can't study the kingdom without studying Isaiah. And I'm going to read several passages. You have to be very objective and very patient and focused to hear what's being said. I'm not going to explain them in any detail. I'm just going to read them for you so you can hear them. And let's look at some of the wonderful features of the kingdom that were disclosed to us through Isaiah. Isaiah 2, verse 1. Turn to Isaiah. You're going to go to five or six passages in Isaiah. I tried not to make them too long, just to get the main verses that describe the kingdom. Isaiah 2:1. The word which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, beautiful in elevation. Joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion and the size of the north city of the great king. It will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and he will render decisions for many peoples, and they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn the art of war. They'll never learn war anymore. Isaiah 9:6, a child will be born and a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. The Lord sends a message against Jacob and it falls on Israel, and all the people know it. That is Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, asserting in pride and in arrogance of heart. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with smooth or hewn stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Therefore the Lord raises against them adversaries from the Arab nations of the Middle East and spurs their enemies on. See? Is that relevant? Like today's news. Well, 9-1-1. Isaiah 44. Turn there. Verse 1. How relevant, how pertinent, how we should take these things so personally and carefully. Believe them and apply them in our everyday life as we live our lives based upon divine priorities, not on earthly things, not setting our mind on earthly things. Isaiah 44:1. But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun. That's the remnant of spiritual believers in any given generation, whom I have chosen. For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. And they will spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water. Poplars are very large trees. You see them around here. They have white bark on them. This one will say, I am the Lord's. And that one will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, belonging to the Lord, and will name Israel's name with honor. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. There is no God beside me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming, and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? Or is there any other rock? I know of none. I know of none. Isaiah 51. See, we're almost all the way through the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 51, 66 chapters. 66 canonical books in the Bible. 66 chapters in Isaiah. Listen to me. You who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who gave birth to you in pain. When he was but one, I called him. Then I blessed and multiplied him. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And her wilderness he will make like the Garden of Eden. And her desert like the Garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the sound of a melody. Pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait for me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. Lift up your eyes to the sky, then look to the earth beneath, for the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner, but my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not diminish or wane. Isaiah 54, that's the end of the millennium into the eternal state. When the present universe rolls up like a scroll and it's recreated, he says, behold, I make all things new. It has begun, just like it is finished. This is the new heavens and the new earth, wherein only righteousness dwells. Isaiah 54, 1, shout for joy, O barren one, you have borne no children. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more, for your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken, grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth, when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion, I will gather you again. In an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. For the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake. But my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Now Isaiah 55, 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? There's the bread. And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness of the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you. Because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, or your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth in shouts of joy before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign that will not be cut off. See how it all ties in? I hope you do. Well, you listen to it again and again. It's in layers, and you can peel the onion later. Isaiah 61. Almost done with this part, so hang in there. Like I said, you need some discipline in terms of concentration and patience. Hupomone, long-suffering. Suffer long under the word. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. Favorable year and a day of vengeance. To comfort all who mourn, to grant those who are in Zion, who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, and a mantle of gladness instead of mourning. The mantle of praise, excuse me, instead of a spirit of mourning or fainting. He says, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. But you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering, and I will faithfully give them their recompense and make an everlasting covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them will recognize them because they are the offspring whom the Lord has blessed. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He's wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all of the nations. Isaiah 65:17. Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered or even come to mind. So you're not going to think about the earth when you're in the presence of the Lord. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing, her people for gladness. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, and there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. No longer will there be an infant who dies, who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100. That's a young person that's still 100. And the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. This is the millennium. They will also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant and another eat. For as lifetime of a tree, so will be the days of my people. And my chosen ones will wear out the work of their hands. That means that they're going to have the most of it. And the most durable things, they'll outlive the most durable things that are made. They will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. They are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And dust will be the serpent's food. On your belly you shall crawl all the days of your life and eat dust. They will do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Finally, 66, Isaiah 66. Last, we ran out of Isaiah chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. You who tremble at his word, I hope that's you and me. Your brothers who hate you, who exclude you for my name's sake, have said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. But they will be put to shame. A voice of uproar from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who is rendering recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she gave birth to a boy. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Can a land be born in one day? Yeah, Israel. And the day that the Lord comes. Can a nation be brought forth all at once? As soon as Zion travailed, she also brought forth her sons. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Or shall I who gives delivery shut the womb? God didn't raise up Israel in 1948, suddenly, in a day, all at once, in order that he might reject her, but in order that he might save her, the remnant. I show you a mystery. All Israel shall be saved, the survivors of the Holocaust of the Great Tribulation period. And so those are all promises from the Lord regarding the millennial kingdom. Now, pray with me. Matthew 6:9. This is still valid. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. If I can have my ushers, please, Father, bless the offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. There's a toast for you. Thank you.